The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I've got Chris and Juan alongside. No Red Sox game tonight, so good news, they can't lose. So that's a positive. Red Sox actually coming off a pretty good weekend, taking 2 out of 3 from the Texas Rangers. Big shout out to the Tartan Army for turning Fenway into an absolute zoo this weekend. Seems like a lot of fun over there. So I figure what we'll do is we'll just do kind of a not quite mid-season temperature check, just how we feeling about the team in general. Do we feel any better? Do we feel worse? About the same. We'll get into all of it. Quick check of the standings, just in case you haven't looked in a while. Red Sox obviously still in last place in the division, 13.5 games back of the Yankees. In terms of the wild card, they are now 5 games back of a wild card spot. So still technically in it, but that number does seem to be growing a little bit too much there in the wild card race. But again, American League is still pretty much wide open, so no reason why the Red Sox can't climb their way back in it. But do we feel like they can do that? So, Chris, I'll start with you. How are you feeling about just the team in general and kind of the direction going forward here?
I feel like there is no real direction because it's just – the Red Sox are consistently inconsistent. You know, just when you think the bottom's about to fall out, they'll win 2 of 3, sweep, and you start to say to yourself, all right, well, they're still in it because the AL is just very mediocre. It's wide open. But as you said, like the wild card games behind, I mean, we're 5 games behind at this point. And I mean, some of the teams that were behind, you know, it's becoming a lot more clear that the teams you're behind are teams that I don't think are necessarily going to go away. Like, I don't think the Rays are going to go away. I don't think the Guardians are going to go away. I certainly don't think the Blue Jays are going to go away. The Astros have all of a sudden leapfrogged us. So there's some teams with pedigree and expectations coming into the season that we thought would either win their division or be in the wild card race that clearly are. Whereas 2 weeks ago, we had these teams that you just didn't imagine were going to be really in it for that long. The cream is starting to rise to the top. And as you said, that number is becoming greater than you would like and getting a lot closer to what we're down in the division. So I don't feel great because, again, I just want to know where the Red Sox are going to be. Like, are we going to sell? And if we're going to sell, what are we selling? Give me hope for when we are going to actually start to fight to compete.
Yeah. I don't feel great. And it's not because I think the Red Sox are no good, and I mean they really aren't any good. I don't feel great because I don't really know the direction of this team. I don't know where they're headed. I don't know if they're buyers, and I don't know if they're sellers. And I think that's the most difficult thing as a fan, is not knowing exactly where your team is headed. You look at what happened over the weekend. They go ahead and they take 2 out of 3 versus a team that I went into the weekend saying they're not better than that team. I didn't think they would win a game, especially looking at the matchups, whether it was Nathan Eovaldi, Jacob deGrom. That Friday game was the only game that, you know, we had any faith that they can get. And they go out there and they win the series. They could have swept if not for, you know, early having his worst performance of the year. So that's a team right there that's ahead of them in the standings. And you look at the mix of teams, whether it's Baltimore, Toronto, the A's, Cleveland, they can compete against those teams, but they need to make a decision here. If you want to compete against these teams and you want to be buyers, then go out there and make a move. If you have to let go of a prospect, do it. But you're not too far away from competing in this American League, at least this season. This is the season where I think you're not, you know, let's say if you don't have any confidence that you're going to win the World Series, but at least look at what's around you. It's not great. It's not even good. So go out there, make a move, make a decision. And I think that's the most difficult part for me, is that I don't know as a fan what they want to do. Are they going to go out there and buy and bring in somebody that maybe we're not going to like, whether it's a Trout or a Paredes? Are you going to go out there and get someone, or are you going to sell? And I think that's going to be the tough part for us as fans, because selling probably means Wilson Contreras, and I'm going to be so pissed if they let go of a player like that. You know, it's really tough for us right now as Sox fans.
In a way, I sympathize with the team a little bit, because as a fan, like as you were just talking about, I kind of flip-flop back and forth between wanting them to go out and buy at least something to help the team at least get back in the wildcard race. And then there are other days where I go, no, just sell. Like, it's, keep, you know, development year, sell, right? So it's tough, because you have a weekend like that where I agree, like, I think the Rangers are better than you, and you're at home, you've sucked at home all year, and you take 2 out of 3. I mean, that's impressive. That's not, you know, nothing to sneeze at. But then I look at the schedule ahead. You've got Toronto coming in now, and you've got, you know, at least 2 of their best pitchers on the mound this week with, you know, Cease and Yesavage to close out the series. So I look at that and I go, well, I don't feel great about that. I foresee maybe a sweep coming. You know, at least they might be able to take one if Max Scherzer really is going to start on Wednesday. That's a game you can win, because he's got an ERA over 10 right now. So, you know, there are times where I look at them and I go, yeah, you're not that far off, right? I mean, I kept saying that, you know, to really fix this team, they are not just one bat away, they're 2 to 3 bats away. I still believe that. But to at least get back in the wildcard race, you can make some moves that will help you and can at least get you a couple more wins. And if you can leapfrog some of these other teams ahead of you that are also very flawed and, you know, also have their own issues, then, yeah, suddenly you could be 2-3 games back of a wild card spot, and then all it takes is one good series and you're there. And there's a lot of baseball left. It's only June. We haven't even hit the All-Star break yet. So, you know, it's tough, because I still think they're going to sell, and I still think that's the prudent thing to do. But I agree, I don't want them trading guys. If they're going to do that, I don't want them trading guys like Wilson Contreras, because that's a guy that you can hang on to for next season as well. The guys they should be trading are the obvious ones. Like, Sonny Gray is an obvious one, right? His contract's up. You know, he's, what, 35 years old now? Like, you're getting some really good baseball out of him, but he's not part of your long-term future. He's not even part of your near future. So, like, guys like that are obvious. I think Chapman is another obvious one. You should sell high on him while you can, before, you know, the bottom drops out, because eventually Father Time's going to catch up with that dude, and you're lucky that it hasn't yet. So I think pieces like that make sense, but it's got to be, you know, it's got to be the right moves. And we still have this dark cloud of Craig Breslow hanging over this team, because I kept guessing for the last couple of weeks that he was going to get fired, you know, with all the reports coming out, and he's still here. So now I'm more convinced than ever that he's going to finish out the season. They're going to let him finish out the season, and then they're going to fire him. And that's kind of a scary thought as you approach the trade deadline, that you basically have a lame duck GM handling your trade negotiations. So it's like Chris said, there's real no real direction to this team, because they win 2 out of 3. They're probably saying to themselves, yeah, we should go out and buy at the trade market. But they might get their teeth kicked in by Toronto this week. And then you go, okay, well, now we're right back at rock bottom. So it's kind of a rudderless ship. And the only way they can get out of it is, you know, to win baseball games. And they can't do that consistently enough, especially at home. So it is tough to judge what this team's really going to do.
With the Wilson Contreras thing, you know, At first I was in the same boat thinking like, oh man, you can't get rid of Wilson. He's like your only offense. I mean, and when you look at this team, it's a shame, because there's only 2 teams better as far as, you know, runs given up. And I think it's the Yankees and coincidentally the Texas Rangers. And then it's the Sox in the American League. So, like, you could say that, like, giving up runs is not the problem for the Red Sox. The problem is we are by far the worst offense. The next worst team offensively is, again, coincidentally, the Rangers, who have scored 7 more runs. And then it gets to the next iteration of teams are 10 runs. And then it's, you start looking at all the ones in the playoffs, you're talking about 30-40 run differential and runs scored. And so, yeah, at face value, it's like, well, you can't afford to get rid of Wilson Contreras. But the ironic part is, when you really think about it, when we brought in Wilson Contreras, he was originally looked at as a stopgap, like a guy that's going to be here for 1 to 2 years and he's not the future of the Red Sox. At least that's what it was coming into the season. And now the people that we were banking on don't look like they're going to be a part of the future of the Red Sox. And the more that I thought about it, it's like, if you find the right package for Wilson Contreras, or it's going to be very dependent on what you get back from some of the no-brainers, right? The Sonny Grays, Aroldis Chapman. If you get things of value or some prospects that are infielders, and then someone makes the right offer for a package for Wilson Contreras, you can't afford to say no. As much as it would suck to give away the runs, like this is, it would get so ugly getting rid of some of these guys like Sonny Gray, Aroldis Chapman anyway. And with baseball more than likely not being played next year, it would almost be malpractice to not give away Wilson Contreras if someone comes knocking at the door. And that's the point I'm at with him.
Yeah, I mean, if they made it clear that this is going to be a rebuild for the next 4 to 5 seasons, right? Not this season, but for the next 4 to 5 seasons, this is going to be a rebuild. That move makes sense. But he's under control for 2 more years after this. If you're saying, well, this year's a wash, next season, if there is a season, we're going to go out there and we're going to try to compete because we're going to, this is when we're going to go all in, then you have to have him there. He's, all, in my opinion, one of the best first basemen in the league, and you're not going to get any better. That boat sailed a long time ago, and that was during the offseason. So if the Red Sox come out, John Henry comes out and says, hey, I want to compete next season, you can't let him go. Now, the problem is, and that's basically what we're saying here, there is no direction. They're not telling us anything. They're not saying whether or not, hey, guys, we're going to rebuild. It's going to take some time. Or next season, we're going to compete. That tells me, if you're not telling me you're going to rebuild, that tells me you're going to try to compete. And if you're going to try to compete, Wilson Contreras is the guy you want at first baseman. Defensively, you know what he's going to bring. As a leader, you know what he's bringing to the team. And offensively, he's having one of the best seasons. That park works for him. And then again, you have him under control for 2 more seasons. That's why I wouldn't, unless they, you know, just came out and said, hey guys, like, this is not going to work for the next few seasons, we're setting everything off, we're starting all over again, that I would want to keep him here. And I do agree with Chapman and Sonny Gray. I mean, those are guys that you have to sell off. They're not a part of your future, not even your near future. So go ahead and sell those pieces. But guys like Wilson Contreras, I have a hard time wanting to let go of a guy like that because he just has that energy.
The only thing, Jason, before you say anything that I would say is, to me, the only way I'd want to keep him is if they were buyers. Like, that's the signal, because even if they said that they were sellers or that they didn't, that they wanted to compete next year, I don't believe it at this point until they actually do something to suggest that they are. Because let's face it, last year we thought we were going to compete, and then the one move we made for Bregman, we shipped him out as soon as he got here. And then, quote unquote, we're in like a little mini rebuild now. So I don't disagree with you in theory, but to me, like, it's not even about the words anymore. I need to see action. And if we're selling, to me, they could say they want to compete next year. But if you're selling, that tells me realistically you're not for 2 to 3 years. So unless we're buyers, that's where I do think it's, we may have to make the tough decision on Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors around Wilson Contreras that make it complicated. And, you know, one of them is the looming strike, which I think we all agree it sounds like it's going to happen, right? So you're looking at most likely no baseball in 2027. So you have to plan for that, right? And Contreras is under contract for 2 more years. So that's 1 year that, you know, it's going to be wasted. But if you keep him, you know, and you decide not to sell him off, and then there's a strike, you might be kind of kicking yourself saying, well, damn, like, we probably should have sold him because we could have gotten a really good prospect back or something that we can now develop and will be part of our future. But, you know, it, and again, the strike is not definitely confirmed. It just feels like it's really heading that way. The other factor is you don't have a first baseman waiting in the wings in your minor league system to take over. Tristan Casas might be broken. Like, I don't know if that dude is ever going to be what we thought he was going to be ever again. I think he'll come back. He's going to come back and play baseball, but is he going to be anywhere close to what we thought he could be? Probably not. He's just missed so much time. So it'd be different if, like, he was rehabbing and he was starting to play some games down in Worcester and, okay, the numbers are looking pretty good. Then you could say, well, now we feel a little bit better selling off Wilson Contreras because Tristan Casas is healthy and, you know, he's ready to kind of come back and take back the first base job. But he's nowhere close. And you don't have anyone else in terms of your corner infield depth in your minor league system that's ready to take over. So even though Contreras is a veteran and yeah, he's probably not part of your long-term future, the other option is you sell him off. You have no one to play first base. And that's a premier position that you should have someone there, you know, as a contender in the American League. So that's a big factor with it too. And look, I think that, again, I think they're going to sell, but is it possible that they can sort of toe the line between selling and buying? Meaning, let's say Garrett Crochet finally gets on track, right? And the shoulder's good, no more lap problems. He's starting to, you know, make rehab starts and he's like, okay, ready to be activated, come back to the rotation. Couldn't you trade Sonny Gray for not necessarily prospects, but maybe someone who's just on the cusp of being major league ready, or someone who is blocked in another organization at their position, you know, and it's a position that you need, like a second baseman or first baseman, third baseman, whatever. What if you could do something like that? Trade Sonny Gray for that kind of player who could still help you right now. And your rotation doesn't take much of a hit because you got Crochet back and you still got Early and Toley doing their thing, Suarez doing his thing. Like, if they were smart enough, they could probably do something like that where, yeah, they're technically selling, but they're not punting on the season. They're not punting on the near future. They're bringing back guys that they identify as, hey, he's pretty much major league ready. It's just that this team's not calling him up and they're not giving him the chance. But if we trade for him, we can plug him in right away and he can be, you know, a part of our present and future. And then, you know, in terms of towing the line between being buyers as well, like, go get some bullpen help. Like, that's an easy one. Your middle relief is trash. I mean, you can get a middle reliever from the Marlins for a song. So they could do something like that. And maybe that's how they kind of stay in it, stay in the wild card race, but also dealing off the pieces that make the most sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thought. I don't disagree that it's possible to toe the line between, you know, selling and buying. I mean, essentially, that's what trades are, right? Like, that's the actual principle of a trade, is two teams exchanging players where they both think that mutually can benefit them. I mean, that is the principle of what trades are supposed to be. It has become either buying or selling because you have teams that are just absolute ass that just want to sell off the things that are doing well or the only things that are doing well for their team to teams that are competing. The only reason I pause with that with the Red Sox is, yes, I agree that the pitching staff, you could afford to get rid of one of the guys and you probably don't miss a beat if Garrett Crochet comes back or even if all else works out. I mean, theoretically, you could even leave Garrett Crochet out of the mix and you probably survive with as well as the pitching has done to this point. The problem is offensively, there's just so many deficiencies with this team that I don't know if we have, like, even if you do get rid of a Gray and a Aroldis Chapman, realistically, are you going to get really good major league ready players that are going to come in and make the impact that we specifically need offensively that would be able to keep us in it long enough or really put us over the top? And that's where I say to myself, I don't realistically see it, because teams that are going to want a Sonny Gray or are going to want a Aroldis Chapman are teams that are competing and are trying to go for a World Series. And I don't see them giving up major league ready talent that is going to put us in a position to go over the top, because that only marginalizes their ability to get to their ultimate goal of going to the World Series or at least competing for it. And yeah, that's probably where I pause on that.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, and I agree with that 100%. I'm at a point in the season, or I'm at a point as a Sox fan, that where, like, I just don't trust in this organization to really build up any of our prospects. I mean, they've failed us with Marcelo Meyer, and I'm going to go out and say it. They've failed us with Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, and even Roman Anthony. In my opinion, those guys are not the players that we were promised. So I'm at the point where I don't want to trade for prospects. I don't trust his organization to build these guys up into what they should be. I would much rather trade prospects to get major league ready talent here, guys that have, you know, that are proven, guys that can contribute to a winning team. You know, we've talked about in the past, and I know that this is not realistic, but say of Fernando Tatis, if the Padres were to say, I don't want him anymore, we don't want to pay that money, I'll take a Tatis, I'll take a Mike Trout, I'll take anybody, Yordan Alvarez, I'll take anybody major league ready talent that I know can contribute to today's team and even in the near future, because I just don't trust this organization to actually build prospects into that, into the major leagues. I don't trust them. What have they, this current iteration of the Boston Red Sox, what have they shown us with the three guys that we were promised that were going to be killers in the major leagues? What have they shown us? Absolutely nothing. So I want, me personally, I'm at the point where I want to trade these guys for major league level talent, or at least, as you mentioned, I think Jason, you mentioned this, guys that are at the are on the cusp, right? They're not up because there's no room for them because the team is too good at the major league level. Those are the types of guys that I want here. I don't want prospects that you have to build up because they haven't shown that they can actually do that.
Yeah, you could argue the only prospect they've really developed, well, aside from they do well with their pitchers. So that one I'll give them credit for. They can develop pitching very well. Well, Toley and Early are a good example of that. Offensively, you could argue the only prospect they've really developed is Sedan Rafaela. I mean, that's it. Because, like, I don't count Willy Abreu because he wasn't originally drafted by you. You traded for him. You know, Houston stupidly gave him up. So I don't count him. Duran, I don't really count because he was such a late bloomer and he's been up and down anyway. Rafael is really the only guy that the Red Sox, you know, I think he was an international signee and they developed him and they gave him the contract and he's, you know, he's starting to turn into a real player now. Apart from that, you're right. Like, Meyer is not what we were sold. Like, good defensively, but I don't think the bat is, you know, it may never get to a major league level. Roman Anthony, I mean, he looked good in that stretch last year when he came up, but who knows? I mean, you know, is he injury prone like Casas? Is he going to be, you know, is he a bit of a head case too? Like, I have no idea. Tristan Casas was sold to us as a 4,100 guy. And it was pretty clear, you know, that he was never going to be that. He had one good half season and the rest of it was really bad. And now he's just, as I said, he might just be broken. So that's, and that's why I agree. Like, if they start selling off guys like Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras, Chapman for these, you know, and you get like 18, 19-year-old low-level prospects that we won't see in a couple of years, I'm not going to feel good about that because, yeah, they'll say like, oh, man, this is the number three ranked prospect in Atlanta's system. Like, okay, great. Vaughn Grissom was supposed to be really good too. You traded Chris Sale for him. How did that work out? You misfired on that one. So I don't trust them to be able to evaluate that correctly with other teams' prospects. That's why, yeah, like if you can get someone who's just ready to break through, like, and it's happened before. It's happened with Aroldis Chapman when the Yankees traded him away and got Gleyber Torres. I mean, Gleyber Torres was not an established name with the Cubs at the time. He was a prospect who, you know, was probably going to make his way up, but Cubs sold him off because they really wanted Chapman for that World Series run. And it was actually a really good move by the Yankees. So do something like that. Again, there's plenty of guys out there that are either blocked or, you know, if they're on a really good team and they're just, you know, they're not getting the opportunity. They're maybe being platooned when they shouldn't be. But again, it's, do you trust the guys that are running the deadline to identify that correctly? And I don't. And so that's, again, where, you know, I said at the beginning of the show, like, the Craig Breslow thing is still this like gigantic black cloud that hangs over this team because sure, we can debate all day whether they should be buyers or sellers, but at the end of the day, whichever one they choose, it's Breslow pulling the strings and making the phone calls. And that scares the crap out of me because whether it's buying or selling, I don't know if you can trust him to make the right decision one way or the other. So that's why I was hoping that by now he'd be fired and they'd have someone else, you know, running the deadline this year, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's going to be his, and that is a scary, scary thought.
What's tough about the thought of the fact that we can't develop prospects is realistically, there's only two different types of teams that have good shots at winning the World Series, and it's teams that either have a healthy mix of prospects that get developed and then have the right mercenary pieces brought in to complement that roster, or it's teams like the Dodgers that just go out and get everyone's talent. They have no room for prospects in their organization, and they just literally will you with a checkbook, which is what the Red Sox and teams like the Yankees used to be. I mean, and then you have teams like the Rays and the A's, right? Like they just try and put something together every year. They find a way to be competitive, but they're realistically probably not winning the World Series. And yeah, like we've done a good job at developing pitching, but we've also fumbled on a lot of pitchers too. Like we've shipped out what is clear talent now and looking at some organizations, whether it be the Brewers or specifically just the Brewers, it seems like that's the trades we always seem to make. And all these guys that seem to be good pitchers that we gave up on or didn't even really give a fair shake to. So that's kind of even like, yes, we've developed, but we've also been willing to get rid of from a positional player. I mean, we haven't developed a prospect. I mean, if Zaydon Rafael is your best prospect development in the last decade, I mean, you have failed as an organization, especially considering the Red Sox have had such highly touted draft picks in the last decade. And as we illustrated, four potential cornerstone pieces in which none of them, one of them surely won't because they're on the White Sox, and the other three have been failures to this point. And I know I see comments in there that like Anthony hasn't had the opportunity to prove himself. Part of that's on him too, right? Like, and some of it is not necessarily all his fault. Like injuries sometimes are just unfortunate, but like he's also kind of, I hate to say it this way, but like kind of been a little bit of a bitch too, right? Like at some point, just toughen up and pull through it. And yeah, maybe a torn ligament at this point or a sprain is not the example, but there's been other moments where he has sat out and it's like, dude, it's the playoffs, like figure it out. You know, the best of the best try to figure it out. But I don't have confidence that this organization is going to be able to execute on anything, right? Because here's the flip side of that. Like we say, yeah, we don't want prospects. And like, I don't disagree. I would love to get the talent like the Dodgers. I don't see us doing that for sure. We are not going to spend like the Dodgers. Like that is not happening, which means more than likely the best case scenario is like a 2013 Red Sox, right? Where you have a couple of prospects that got developed. You still have Big Poppy. And then you have a ton of freaking hired gun mercenaries that come in where you know you've got like a 1 to 2 year window. And that's exactly what it was because then we sucked the next year. And what were we screaming then? Like, oh, you can't do this. Like, yeah, we won, but you got to build the team. You got to have prospects, let them develop and turn it back to like a 2007 and then a 2018. But as we said, we can't develop prospects. So if that's out and then, you know, going and getting these hired guns isn't sustainable for a long period of time, where does that leave the Red Sox long term? And that's not a very good place.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs when the prospects, your former prospects that you've shipped out elsewhere, are contributing way more than any of your prospects that you kept and developed. I mean, even guys like Blaze Jordan just got called up the other day, hit a bomb against Minnesota. I mean, I'm not telling you Blaze Jordan's going to be, you know, like a 30-100 guy for the Cardinals, but I don't know. He's 22 years old, and he's got some pop. He's a right-handed hitter, and he's a corner infielder. And you know, you didn't want him. Now, Grant, I don't think any of us regret that trade, given what we've got out of Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras, but that is one to look at. Again, even some of the smaller guys, Chase Mydroth, right? You know, not like a generational talent of any kind, but he's hitting like, what, 260 with the White Sox as a middle infielder? Another right-handed bat? I mean, that's something you could have right now. I know Kyle Teal is hurt, but he looks pretty good. Braden Montgomery made his debut, so he looks pretty good. And then, yeah, you mentioned like guys like Kyle Harrison that you shipped out because you couldn't figure him out. Well, the Brewers sure did, right? So it's just kind of sad that like the guys that you've traded away are all making impacts at the big league level, and Marcelo Meyer's hitting like 176, and Roman Anthony can't get on the field because of his hand, and Tristan Casas is broken, and it's really just they got to look at everything top to bottom in that organization and do a full clean out, because you can't develop guys, you can't even coach guys at the current major league level properly. You know, it's just your ownership and general manager can't agree and can't get along. The whole thing is a mess. And so that's why it's almost like whatever they do at the deadline, it kind of doesn't matter, because there's still going to be just that rudderless ship, and it starts from the top and, you know, goes all the way to the bottom. So, you know, I would love to see how active they're going to be around the trade deadline. Do they try and bolster their bullpen? Do they try and go and get a bat, or are they content with just, hey, you know, Sonny Gray for two prospects? Sure, let's do it. And, you know, let's just build up our, because again, like I think part of what they care about the most is their farm system ranking. Not so much can these guys actually play, like, are they going to bring us a World Series in the future? It's, Well, we're now like in the middle of the pack farm system ranking wise. Let's get back into the top 10. You know, that's because we can feed that to the analytical fans and get them something to be happy about. I just think that's all they're going to do. And it's sad because it's not going to be enough. And the team's still going to flounder around for the rest of this season. And, you know, the season's going forward because they just can't do what these other teams are able to do and identify that talent to bolster their roster and find that next guy. They're just not able to do it.
Honestly, I think the very first step here, you know, you have this dark cloud hanging over you called Craig Breslow. You don't know what's going to happen with him. I think, well, what we do at the end of the season, I think he's gone. I think even now, thinking about it, before even bringing in any player, they need to clean house. Once they do that, you need to figure out, bring some baseball people into the clubhouse. I saw the rumors about them trying to bring in Dustin Pedroia. Those guys don't want anything to do with you anymore because they've seen what this team has become, what this organization has become. So step one for the Red Sox is clean house. Bring in some baseball people, guys that actually care about this team. Yes, analytics are a part of what baseball has become today. I'm not going to ignore that. That is a fact. The Dodgers use analytics. The Yankees use analytics. So that is a part of the game. But you can't forget about the baseball side, the human side of the game, which Theo Epstein himself brought up in that interview, that he did feel like the Red Sox had become too analytically driven. So what is the next step? Bring in some guys in here that can have a feel for the game. Once you figure that out, once you have that foundation, then you go ahead. You know you can trust them to bring in the right players to build a contending team. While they continue to do what they're doing, they're going to get rid of Breslow. And guess what? They're going to bring in another Breslow. I want you to use analytics. I want you to stay within a certain number and try to build the winning team that way because we're following the Tampa Bay Rays. That's what they're going to do. And that's just not going to work. Clean house, build it from the ground the right way. It's so simple to me. I don't know. Maybe they should hire us to build this team up because to me it's really simple. Bring in baseball guys, let them run the show.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you need to have people that are willing to acknowledge when you're making a mistake or you're going in the wrong direction, even in the midst of potential success, right? Like I think about another team in Boston, right? Plays a different sport. You got the Boston Celtics, right? They 2 years removed from winning a world championship and less than 2 years removed. You had Brad Stevens come on and basically say like, hey, I don't like the direction of our team. I don't like the way we play offense. Got to stop chucking up threes, right? And it would have been easy for a team like that just to be like, oh, you know, we had a bad year. Our best player got hurt, came back early. Like we're still figuring it out. But no, because they recognize that like something's got to change. And that's what good teams do. They recognize when they're going in the wrong direction. And they make it known, and they'll make the necessary adjustments. That's why Brad Stevens is one of the best general managers in all of sports, let alone in the Boston area. Then you have Craig Breslow, right? He doubles down on his bullshit. Instead of just admitting like, yeah, you know what? We've lost a couple of trades. We gave up on guys that we shouldn't have given up on. Or drive line's not working. No, let's double down on it. Let's just bring in more people that are going to feed into what I am trying to do. And that's why the Boston Red Sox are exactly where they're at. And that's why, Juan, you're 100% right. It's rotten from the core. They need to clean house, bring in people that are baseball people that know what are the right things to do. And when it's not the right thing to do, know that they need to change course.
Yeah, and it's the arrogance, too, of guys like Breslow, because these analytical guys, again, they operate like computers. Well, the computer can't be wrong. You know, it's not the computer's fault. Something else is happening. I mean, anytime Breslow gets interviewed, you know, if he stops in the Nesson booth or the radio booth or something, they say, you know, what can we do? Like, how's this team going to turn around? He always says the same thing. He says, well, you know, we got a couple guys in the lineup that we identify that once they turn around and our you know, data sheets or whatever believe that they will, then we'll start playing better baseball. But really, it's just we have guys underperforming, but our data suggests that they'll turn it around really soon, and you know, then we'll start winning more games. And it's just there's no human element to that answer. He's basically just saying, yeah, I'm going to treat it like a video game because, you know, he looks at the lineups as well. Jaren Duran, it should be an 85 overall rated player. He hasn't playing like it, but we just keep simulating. Eventually, he's going to get there. Like, no, Craig, that's clearly not what's going on. And yeah, they just don't have any baseball people in the room to be like, no, I know what's going on with him. There's something with his stance. Like, I'll talk to him and we'll sort it out. They don't have anyone like that. You know, like Duran, when he had that really good year, he credited Dustin Pedroia because Pedroia noticed something with his hands, the way he was, you know, holding his hands with the bat. And he's like, yeah, he fixed it. He's like, yeah, no, do this instead. And Duran had the best year of his career. It's just little things like that. Guys who, oh, I don't know, actually played the game. And what's crazy is Breslow did. Like, he was a good reliever for a long time. And you wouldn't know it because he just doesn't talk in baseball terms. It's all about the computers and the data sheets. And yeah, they need someone like that. And I don't blame Pedroia for giving them the snub because unfortunately it's going to be hard to get any baseball people in that room after what you did to the other baseball people that you used to have who you all, you know, fired in one big go. Like, you know, what they did to guys like Varitek, you know, that's going to ring out throughout the league. So sure, they might want baseball people, but they're looking at it going, well, I don't want to work for Henry and those clowns because as soon as I disagree with one of their driveline guys, they're going to kick me out the door. So, Juan, yeah, you said it right. They need to clean house. They need just an absolute, just that organization needs an enema. Like, just get rid of Breslow, get rid of all Breslow's disciples. You know, I don't know if you need to get rid of driveline, but can you at least, you know, have driveline work with the baseball people? Like, can they at least be like a symbiotic relationship instead of them telling Jim Rice to shut up and not talk to the players? Like, can we do that? I mean, that's what they need to do. And whether that happens at the end of this season or, you know, during the strike year, if that happens, that's what I'm hoping for. Because until then, if they keep running it like this, it's going to keep getting worse. Because, again, it's the arrogance. They think they're the smartest people in the room. They think they are the Atlanta Braves, and you're not. The Atlanta Braves do it better than you, and you don't have the right people in the room. So hopefully at some point we get a cleaning of house because I think that's the only way to turn it around.
Just look at the advantage that you have playing at Fenway Park. Wilson Contreras is the perfect example of this. I hate when I see people on social media throwing up numbers of every player that the Boston Red Sox were going after, whether it's a Alex Bregman or a Pete Alonso. They're not played at Fenway. You put those guys in Fenway, Wilson Contreras is a perfect example of what could happen. If you allow a player to just be himself, to just play his game and look at what you have as an advantage, which is your stadium, bring in the guys that can play in that stadium. Bregman was that guy. And again, I don't want to look at the Red Sox as an organization that's going after players and you can either get one or the other. Why? You're the Boston Red Sox. You could have had, okay, if you want Contreras because you think his swing fits well in Fenway, he's, you know, he has a great defense. He's a team player. That's awesome. You can bring him in. You are the you know, you have the funds to say, well, guess what? We're also going to go out there and offer Alex Bregman a 5-year contract because we also want that leadership because his swing works here in Fenway. Right? Like, just build the roster that way. Forget about your projections, what you think a player can do. Forget about your prospects and what you think your prospects can become here in Boston. Just build the roster. Look at what you have and build the roster based on what you have. And the problem with him, and we just all know it, is that he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room when ultimately he's not. And that's what's kind of wearing people off. People don't want to negotiate with him. And other GMs are seeing what these owners have allowed Breslow to do, and they're probably turned off by it. For me, the best decision to be made here is Theo. And I mentioned this in the previous episode. Theo, what do you want? You're already part of ownership. Can you take over? Can you get the right guy in here? Can you rebuild this? Can you fire everyone and bring in the right people so that we can build the contending team for next season, if there is a season? That's the right move here, because going outside of Theo, I don't think anyone else is going to be interested in wanting to take that position based on what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, you made a great point as far as constructing a roster that is suited to the ballpark that you play in. At the end of the day, you spend half the regular season games in your own ballpark. And when you look at the American League and you look at the National League, with the exception of maybe one or two teams in each league, every division leader has a really good home record. All the teams leading the wild card have a good home record, right? And then most of them are about 500, maybe even worse on the road. But you know what? They're winning the majority of their games on the home. The Red Sox have the worst home record in the ML. That's the reality. I mean, and we were talking about before the show, they have an opportunity that they keep their crap up at home. They could be a generationally bad team at home record-wise, like Chicago White Sox status. So at the end of the day, yes, we need to clean house and find someone that's going to say, okay, well, let me at least construct a team that is going to win 700-800% of their freaking games at home since I play half my games here.
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense to do it that way. I mean, I don't think offering 33-year-old Kyle Schwarber a huge multi-year deal is the most prudent thing, but you know why the Phillies did it? Because he crushes at their ballpark. He is putting together like a Hall of Fame career at that ballpark. So that's why they do it. That's why I wanted the Red Sox to go the extra year for Pete Alonso. Is it necessarily a smart business move to sign Pete Alonso into his late 30s? No. But Pete Alonso at Fenway? He'll hit 40 home runs a year guaranteed at that ballpark. That's why you do it. But instead, Breslow's like, no, you know, the data sheets say we can't give him the extra year, so we're going to pass on the negotiations. And, oh, we'll let him go to our division rival. That's smart, Craig. That's really good. No, that's great. Yeah, good move. It's just, it's so simple. You're right, Mon. Like, it's, you have an advantage. Fenway Park is an advantage. The same way that Yankee Stadium is an advantage for the Yankees. Yeah. We all hate the short right field porch, but whatever, it's there to stay. And that's why left-handed hitters like Cody Bellinger love playing for the Yankees, because he looks at it and goes, I can up my home run total by 15 just by playing at that ballpark. So every other team does it. They build their rosters based on their ballparks. Now, not every team does it correctly. Like the Giants don't do it, because I think anyone could have told them Rafael Devers is not suited for that ballpark, but Buster Posey went and traded for him anyway. And that's why the Giants are now in last place, and that we're close to last place in that division. But if you're smart, you build the roster based on your ballpark, based on your home park. And Red Sox had a chance to do it in the offseason, and they didn't. And now they're suffering for it. This is why, as Chris pointed out, they have the worst home record in all of baseball. Like, worse than the Rockies. That's really, you're at rock bottom if you know, the Rockies are doing something better than you are. So it's just, again, it's got to be a cleaning of house. They need different ideas in there. I like the idea of Theo taking over. I don't know if he has the appetite to do it, but if he's got any sort of juice left, that would be the move. I would agree. Just get someone like Theo to take over, bring him in a totally different direction, and just away from this analytical crap, because it's clearly not working. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Again, we've got the moniker up on our podcast, Fire Breslow. We're counting down the days. We're trying to lead the charge, but ultimately they got to be the ones to do it. So we'll be here when they do. Before we go, let's just preview real quick. The Red Sox have the Blue Jays coming into town for 3 games. So tough tests. That's a team that's ahead of you in the standings, and kind of some tough pitching matchups here. So you're going to be getting, at least according to ESPN, Dylan Cease, Max Scherzer, and Trey Yesavage. So Scherzer in the middle is a bit of a soft spot. I think he's got an ERA of like 10 right now. So you might be able to get to him. But we'll start with just tomorrow's game. 6:45 start. We got Dylan Cease against Peyton Tolley. So Chris, I'll start with you. How do you feel about tomorrow's game?
I mean, I'll be honest. I think that the Sox might get swept in this series. So I obviously am picking the Blue Jays.
Same here. I mean, this is the game that they're going to have to get, because game two, they'll have Jake Bennett going up against this Blue Jays team, which, I mean, putting all that pressure on that young kid. Peyton Tolley has been one of your best pitchers. You know, he's had ups and downs, but he has been one of your best pitchers. You're going to have to put up runs against this Blue Jays team. So the hope is that this offense can continue to do what they did during the weekend. Is that something I'm banking on? No. I do see them losing the series. I don't know about a sweep, but I do see them losing the series, though.
Yeah, I agree. I don't feel good about this series, particularly the bookend pitching matchups. I mean, Dylan Cease is one of the best pitchers in baseball right now. ERA just under 3. He's got 103 strikeouts, third in all of baseball in strikeouts. So he's doing his thing. That I know that contract was a bit of an albatross, but year one's looking pretty good for him so far. Peyton Tolley, I think he'll pitch well, but we've kind of seen some cracks with him lately. Last couple of starts, he's been a little more vulnerable, starting to look a little more human. And that Toronto lineup, like they're, you know, that team's finally getting healthy and they're starting to play some good baseball. So yeah, not feeling good. We're going to need a lot of help from the Scottish this week. They got to show up to Fenway and help us out, because apparently that's the only way we can win is when they're in town. But yeah, I'm saying it's going to be at least Toronto 2 out of 3, might even be a sweep. And unfortunately, I think that starts tomorrow.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. I say that maybe it's not bold, actually. I'm going to say the Jays sweep the Sox and overtake the A's for the third wild card. The A's are playing, I want to say, the Pirates, and they're both, I think the A's are 35 and 36 and the Pirates 36 and 36. I think they drop 2 of 3 to the Pirates. I think the Sox get swept and the Blue Jays will be in the third wild card spot by the time the series is over.
Yeah, that would not surprise me at all. Again, Toronto is starting to get hot. So, and again, that's why early this year you should have taken advantage of that when they were beat up and injured. You could have, you know, leapfrogged them in the standings, put some distance between you. But unfortunately, the Red Sox decided to be a mess this year, so it didn't matter. But yeah, so we'll see how this series goes. We will be back on the air tomorrow after the game, so check that out. We'll be breaking down everything that goes down.